540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Police are looking for whoever shot and killed six people in Goshen, California, early Monday. Details from KSEE-TV's Esteban Reynoso.
We definitely have suspects who came in onto the property and made it very personal.
Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreau believes this shooting is gang-related. The sheriff says there are at least two suspected shooters that entered the home and fired multiple rounds.
No arrest yet in the shooting of eight people at a Martin Luther King observance in Fort Pierce, Florida. St. Lucie County Chief Deputy Sheriff Brian Hester.
It's really unfortunate and it's sad that during a celebration of someone who represented peace and equality, that a disagreement results in a use of guns and violence.
A failed Republican candidate for the New Mexico House of Representatives has been arrested on charges of arranging drive-by shootings. Those shootings targeted the homes of Democratic lawmakers in Albuquerque. Police say 39-year-old Solomon Pena was angry about his defeat. Will Congress raise the nation's debt limit later this week or allow the nation to go into default? CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Both sides are talking past each other. Democrats say they won't negotiate on this. Republicans say they want to sit down and talk. We're 3 days out. This is going to be very 2011-like, where we see a near breach because we're getting just weeks away now.
House Republicans and a special counsel are now asking for information on the discoveries of documents with classified markings at locations linked to President Biden. CBS's Weijia Zhang is at the White House.
We simply do not know what will come of the special counsel's investigation, how long it will last, and how that timing could butt up to the real start of the campaign in earnest for 2024.
Some libraries in Colorado are dealing with a new problem.
Officials in the Denver suburb of Englewood have had to shut down the city library after tests showed the restrooms had meth inside. In fact, the amount exceeded state thresholds and other spaces also tested positive. It comes just after nearby Boulder closed its library after having to also clean up meth. Reports of drug use in the state have been increasing in libraries as colder weather has led more people and many who are homeless to seek shelter inside. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Police in Memphis say some of their officers now face disciplinary action after a 29-year-old black driver died following a traffic stop. Tyre Nichols' death earlier this month has caused outrage in the community. Police say Nichols experienced a medical emergency after running from officers, but some in the community believe he was beaten by police. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. Radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's an MLK Monday. No, Dominic, he'll return tomorrow. But have no fear, I got a fine co-devil. He joins me here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, World Headquarters, Madison, Wisconsin. It's William Walter. First time you've co-deviled with me, William. Welcome, sir.
I am back, party people. You might remember me as the fun uncle from Dueling Tangents when the ultra-talented Luke Mathers is out of town. And I'm also the guy who controls the weather.
Did you make it rain?
No, I made it warm. That's my shtick. Is like I can't really control snow or rain or that kind of stuff, but I will guarantee to you that if I'm in studio, it will not be cold that day.
It will.
And you can check back
cold.
To Dueling Tangents every single time. I'm consistent, if not anything else.
Okay. The man controls the weather. Keep telling yourself that, William. William, you are with Our Wisconsin Revolution. Tell us your title. It's kind of long. It's not all included in the footnotes.
Yeah, that'd be putting a little bit of a strain on you. I am the Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. We are the Wisconsin offshoot of Bernie's National Our Revolution Group.
Awesome. Well, let's start and turn our attention to some local headlines. The president did speak today, and we will bring you the sound of Joe Biden a little bit later in the day. But I want to start with sort of the cynical work of local Republicans, the WIS GOP, it never stops. And William, you are well aware there is a spring election coming up in no time at all.
In Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yes. Yes. We've got.
Now, is this the most important election of the last 20 years? I believe it might be.
It is for the soul of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And it's the first time, really, since Hagedorn race that could have flipped the court to the liberals. That was an unsuccessful race for the quote-unquote liberal judge, Lisa Neubauer, lost by 5,600 votes. So very, very close. And, you know, I'd give Hagedorn a little bit of credit. He's been a little bit more of a judicial independent than a pure partisan, like, let's say, Dan Kelly, the formerly Wanker-appointed guy on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Well, when it was his turn in the barrel, when he actually ran for election to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he was crushed by Jill Karofsky. 163,000 votes, I think, the margin of his huge loss. So Dan Kelly's throwing his hat back out there. And those that want to see Republicans or conservatives continue to control the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they look at Dan Kelly as, you know, perhaps a loser on a multitude of levels, and they don't find him to be the most appealing of candidates. So they what? Recruited a celebrity alternative. Jennifer Doro, the judge from Waukesha, she presided over the Waukesha, you know, parade tragedy trial.
The Daryl Brooks trial, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen to the cynical work. There are referendums being proposed. And let's reference the fine work of Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, her reporting the source here. I'm gonna lead, William, and I'll ask for your comment. Wisconsin lawmakers will vote this week on a resolution that would add an advisory referendum to the April election ballot on whether welfare recipients should work to receive benefits, a move made by Republican legislative leaders aimed at helping conservative candidates for the state Supreme Court by boosting turnout among their supporters. So welfare queens still plays well to Republican-based voters. This seems a little disingenuous in that it's only an advisory referendum, William. Doesn't change anything. So really, why put it on the ballot? To get out the base, right?
100%. I mean, I'll have to compare it to something that we talked about on Dueling Tangents a few weeks ago, that my organization did a ballot referendum in Dunn County in regards to a national health insurance program. The purpose of that was we wanted to prove to not just the Democratic Party, but the Republican Party, hey, white, conservative, rural Wisconsinites support these policies. Can we please do something about it? Then you flip it on its head and you see Republican legislators taking their little pet hate issues and trying to do the same thing with an advisory referendum that, again, has no teeth to it. It's simply putting it on the ballot for the sake of seeing what kind of support it gathers. But you're exactly right. I mean, it's race baiting top to bottom. It's just trying to dig out the old catchphrases that they love to use to rally up their base. Welfare queens has been around for longer than my time in politics, that's for sure.
I think that's a Reagan thing from the 80s.
Oh, that's even longer than my life at that point.
I know, yeah. You young man, you. Young man in his late 20s. William, let's get a little more of the reporting here, because I think there's a theme. See if you can hear the theme of all these cynical, and the theme's not cynicism, although, you know, these are certainly cynical referendum being proposed by the Republicans, but there's more of them. Let's share a little bit more of the reporting. Molly Beck. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss introduced a resolution Friday that would add an advisory referendum to the spring ballot that would ask, shall able-bodied, childless adults be required to look for work in order to receive taxpayer-funded welfare benefits? Well, I think probably, seeing as that's already the requirement under Wisconsin law, that this is a little disingenuous in the asking, a little cynical, but I read, if passed, the referendum would have no effect. But the issue of work requirements for welfare benefits has generous support among conservatives, a key priority of past Republican governors, including Walker, and Tommy Thompson. State senators will take up the resolution on Tuesday, in addition to a constitutional amendment proposal, and here's the next one, a constitutional amendment proposal that would give judges more latitude in deciding bail conditions. Both questions will appear on the spring ballot if passed by both houses of the state legislature. William, if you'll recall, back in 2018, there were a lot of citizen cannabis activists that worked very hard, went to different communities and requested that cannabis be put on the ballot as a question, a referendum, non-binding referendum question. And you could say, well, that was for the benefit of the Democratic Party, for Tony Evers. I know Scott Walker still blames the 31,000 margin of his defeat to Tony Evers first time around to legalize marijuana referendums. But I would say the difference both then and now is that was and still is the viewpoint of the majority of Wisconsinites. I mean, it's the minority prohibition perspective that's really blocking things.
100%.
And when you go and you polled people, and it was like 16 or 17 different individual referendums on ballots in local communities, and did it have enough sway to push Wanker, you know, into the loser column again? A lifelong loser, I would say, but maybe, maybe, who knows? But here's what I know. This newest one, this is should be called the Jennifer Doro Constitutional Referendum. This is, you know, why don't you call it the Waukesha Parade Tragedy Constitutional Referendum? Because if you believe in law and order, and you believe people should be locked up, and we know the conservatives think that this is a winning issue for them, because Ron Johnson, despite all his faults, let's say, won re-election in no small part by attacking the candidacy of Mandela Barnes and making him somehow analogous with what happened in Kenosha and, you know, easy bail policies that would let criminals, hardened criminals out on the streets, I tell you. The interesting point I'd like to make, though, William, Jennifer Doro has really got a very liberal, quote-unquote, attitude on bail policy.
She agrees with Mandela, but you will never hear the conservatives ripping on her for that.
Well, perhaps not her support system, but the U-Lines are going to fund Dan Kelly, and they're going to try to eviscerate her on this. We may not hear these ads, but I guarantee they're going to be all over right-wing talk radio. If they're not up yet, they will be soon. And I think they will come after her on this specific issue. And then you get to the general election. I think that would be the ultimate irony. If Robin Voss and LeMahieu put this tough on crime, give the judge the power to hold these criminals out on petty crimes, being issued bail typically. Well, bail is not a deterrent to future crime. Bail's just show up and face the music, go to trial. That's the only reason bail's supposed to be in effect.
In theory, it's just supposed to bring you back.
Well, and I'd be okay with consideration of bail reform in a variety of different ways. But this is just damn cynical. Because this is just another way for them to say, we got to keep those people in jail. We've got to protect you from those people. And the final one, Andre Jacques. Republican, again from the reporting at the Journal Sentinel. Republican State Senator Andre Jacques also introduced a resolution Friday that would put an advisory referendum question on the ballot that would ask voters whether school districts should be prohibited from providing curriculum or instruction to students that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex. Well, that seems strange, but here's where it gets stranger. It's the don't call whitey a racist clause part. Or that an individual, by virtue of that individual's race or sex, bears responsibility for acts committed in the past by other individuals of the same race or sex, according to analysis from the Nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau.
Isn't so, this just the next step of CRT? We don't want you teaching history. We don't want you blaming children for the past transgressions of their people. But, like, nobody's blaming children. We're simply pointing to the systemic flaws that have allowed this type of dominance of society to kind of fall into the hands of predominantly white males.
You cannot call me misogynist or racist just because I'm a white male that wants to control women and, you know, perhaps be a little racist. Come back with us. I'm being sarcastic, just for the record. That's William Walter. This is the Devil's Advocates, an MLK Monday edition.
And we can all look in the mirror and find some blame somewhere.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
That was
just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 37 overnight under overcast skies with a chance for isolated showers. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for isolated rain showers tomorrow, high of 39, overcast. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, lows around 31. A dusting of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine co-devil all day long. He is William Walter. He's a fine young man.
I'm a very nice young man, Crudy. Please get it right. That's what I wrote on the board the first time I was here.
That you're a nice young man?
I believe that was the exact quote, a very nice young man. But though it was not my self-appointed nickname, Evan gave me that nickname. So I have to give credit where credit is due. I would not be that conceited to come in here and say, hello, everybody, I'm a very nice young man.
You're from our Wisconsin Revolution. You got a long title for that fine organization. And I've asked you to join me, and you've been a part of many of the fine programs around here, although we prefer if you only reference the Devil's Advocates. sort of a personal note we make. But let me talk about our inferior competition on Whitey Righty Talk Radio. And they're doing a live national show, Clay and Buck, the old Rushbo slot in the midday. And I'm listening to it on local radio, and I had actually been comparing our fine radio product all around the state of Wisconsin. Started my day in Wausau, Wisconsin, and drove down through the state, and I was, comparing us and our competitors. And heard Clay and Buck talking about it's MLK Day, and a year ago at this time, our president, Joe Biden, kind of went hard, went on the attack with Republicans and said it was very important to support the Voting Rights Act. I think Ebon's done the hard work. I think we've got a little of this sound. So let's set the tone with Joe Biden a year ago today on MLK Day 2022. The attack on democracy is real. Cut 5.
The attack on our democracy is real, from the January 6th insurrection to the onslaught of Republicans' anti-voting laws in a number of states. It's no longer just about who gets to vote. It's about who gets to count the vote and whether your vote counts at all. It's about two insidious things, voter suppression and election subversion.
And there was a legislative piece, but I would say in no small part it was blocked by Manchin and Sinema and the math. It was blocked by the math. And he could not overcome the filibuster. But at that time, Joe Biden was still advocating, still saying how important it was to pass this piece, really by any means necessary. Cut 6, please.
In his time, through his courage, his conviction, and his commitment, Dr. King held a mirror up to America and forced us to answer the question, where do we stand? Whose side are we on? We're in another moment right now where the mirror is being held up to America, being held up again. The question being asked again, where do we stand? Whose side are we on?
And Joe Biden really said, if we have to set aside the filibuster to accomplish these things, to support the right to vote, I think we should. And that was the advocacy he made. And these inferior whitey-righty talk radio hosts a year ago said, well, they're commenting on Joe's words from a year ago today. They said, well, A, it was a super partisan speech. Did you hear him attack the January 6th insurrection people? You know, because as far as right-wing talk radio is concerned, those are the real patriots, William. But above and beyond that, it was effectively, they were refuting the statement that Joe Biden made because none of it came to fruition. All these things, all these terrible things he said. Well, they claimed, well, you know, there was record voter turnout in the state of Georgia. So therefore, everything worked out fine. And everything that Joe Biden was talking about, you know, the importance of democracy, well, it's all bogus. It's all malarkey. That was the contention they made. And I'm unfamiliar with right-wing talk radio host phone numbers. So I didn't know what it was. But I'd assuredly like to call today and said, what about the example of Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Bob Spindell? In a little memo he wrote, apparently, to the 4th Republican CD, Congressional District. And I've got some of the reporting from the Journal Sentinel. Let's just review, William, a couple of the things he said. Spindell, by touting, this is the reporting, by touting lower voter turnout, he was praising efforts by Republicans to make inroads with lifelong Democrats. He said Thompson, Mark Thompson, elections commissioner's comments, were ignoring the fact that commissioners are supposed to be partisan. Let's not forget, he's an elections commissioner. He is a partisan Republican. Here's what he said on the partisan side. The elections commission was not set up to be fair. The oath of office that we take does not say anything about being nonpartisan. We were appointed by Republican and Democratic officials to be partisan. And there is nobody more partisan than Ann Jacobs and Mark Thompson. And that's meant to be a compliment.
What's more GOP official than deflect, deflect, deflect immediately? Oh, well, yeah, okay, I did this thing that was problematic, but Ann Jacobs and Mark Thompson did it first. They did it first, so they're worse. Like, dude, come on.
Well, what they didn't do is they didn't brag about suppressing Republican votes, but Spindell did. A little bit more from his statement. Three partisan Democrats and three partisan Republicans try to get together and come out with guidance that is in the best interest of Wisconsin, at the same time recognizing the interest of political parties must be protected. Well, I would remind those that are a little younger, like William, or perhaps less observant, there used to be a nonpartisan government accountability board, and it had the temerity to try to hold Scott Walker accountable for his corrupt campaign coordination with third-party groups. It was illegal at the time he was doing it, and the fact that they would try to hold him accountable for it meant that that agency had to go. And Republicans had the levers of power. They destroyed that. They destroyed the campaign finance laws. And, of course, they eliminated the John Doe. But here's the interesting thing. Spindell was bragging about the reduction in Milwaukee votes, especially amongst African-Americans and Latino voters. In a five-page memo touting the party's 2020 campaign strategy, Spindell wrote that the party is especially proud of how the city of Milwaukee's gross vote went down from 74 to 63% of registered voters. That's from midterm to midterm. 37,000 total votes less than cast in 2018. We must remember, and the strategy of things is often extremely difficult and hard to convert a hardcore, long-term generation-type Democrat to all of a sudden bring himself or herself to come around to vote for a Republican. However, by our Republican efforts, pointing out strongly how the Democrat candidates are worse. Well, anyways, come back. More devils.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. No arrest yet in the shooting of eight people at a Martin Luther King Day event in Fort Pierce, Florida. Brian Hester is the St. Lucie County Chief Deputy Sheriff.
There was mass chaos there. There were people laying behind cars, laying behind anything they could lay behind. It was kind of hard to tell who was a victim and who was just hiding at that point. but our deputies did start to render aid.
Can Democrats and Republicans agree on raising the nation's debt ceiling? CBS's Scott McFarlane.
If we're even talking about this, there's a lack of certainty that could rattle the markets and could rattle the economy. It did in 2011 when they got near a deadline, and that's the reality we face now.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy among the Republicans demanding to know more about the discovery of documents with classified markings at locations linked to President Biden.
The White House tried to say it was all cleared up on Thursday, and now that we find there's more documents, I think there's a lot of questions that continue to raise, and we want to get all the information possible.
CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the MLK Monday edition. Got a fine code devil here with me in Madison, coming over from our Wisconsin Revolution. He is William Walter. William, I appreciate you sticking around, man. I know I've done more of the talking, but we're going to get more of your refreshing young opinions here in just a moment. But let me finish this. I didn't give myself adequate time to fully lambast Bob Spindell. Bob Spindell is the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner that was effectively bragging
fake about elector Bob Spindell.
Well, I haven't even gotten to the fact that the guy, to my perception, committed fraud. And willingly committed fraud, and even publicly talked about the fact he was directed to commit fraud by Trump's attorneys. So, you know, how could it be fraud if Trump's attorneys told him to do it?
It's like the he mentally what's the phrase for when you have top secret documents and you release it into the public? mind blanking on it.
Leaked. I don't know. You mean
everything that's going on with the Mar-a-Lago raid, and now actually Biden as well with all the top secret documents found in their home. So many conservatives came out after Mar-a-Lago got raided and, oh, well, declassified. Donald Trump is the president. He can declassify these at will. He doesn't even have to say it. He can just think about it mentally. Like, I'm getting weird vibes, weird parallels to that situation here with everything going on with Spindell.
Well, it's funny. Again, Spindell proud of the fact that city of Milwaukee's gross vote went from 74% to 63%. Midterm to midterm, 2018. And that, of course, was the Scotty Wanker defeat. I always love saying Scott Walker lost to Tony Evers. But I also look and say, but, you know, Mandela Barnes was on the same ballot. In 2018, it was Evers-Barnes. And I'm wondering, do the same people that voted for Tony Evers when Barnes was the lieutenant governor in 2018... did they vote for Tony Evers and refuse to vote for Mandela Barnes?
I think it's worse than that. You know, I'm in Germantown, which is Washington County. We are very white, very rural. Very
north of Milwaukee, one of the exurbs, one of the former, well, I guess it's still a Wow County.
Still a Wow County, yeah. Very rural probably wouldn't be accurate anymore. This is suburbia.
Yeah,
through and through. And these are communities that lean quite conservative. 24th Assembly District, something we've talked about in the past, was just gerrymandered heavily from the new districts to plus three, went up to plus 25 Republicans. So these are safe seats, right? And I know a lot of people when I was door knocking, when I was chatting with parents of friends or whatever, that voted Evers and flipped and voted Johnson as well. Now, these are lifelong conservatives. Their logic was, I don't like Ron Johnson, but, and something you touched on earlier, Mandela's too soft on crime. I can't have that. Those race baiting ads, they worked. We saw what it was like a plus six Mandela to plus six Johnson swing in one polling cycle from MU Law polls. Like, that's effective. That was quite successful for the Republican media ecosystem. And at the same time, though, these are lifelong conservatives who were able to turn around and say, Tim Michaels rubs me the wrong way in a similar but different vein to how Mandela rubs me the wrong way. Tony's just safe. He's just grandfatherly. Like, I don't necessarily like him, but I don't dislike him. And I remember, too, Tim Michaels was flip-flopping like a pancake on policy proposals. He'd say something one day, then he'd see the results on the polling data, and all of a sudden, 3 days later, it's, well, I didn't actually say that. That's not what I meant. And, I mean, voters, even voters that are stuck in the same right-wing radio ecosystem or right-wing news ecosystem, a lot of these people have kids, a lot of these people have friends, a lot of them, you know, there are conversations that are happening behind the scenes that I think it's really hard to get a accurate determination of what people are going to be saying to their friends and family if you're not boots on the ground organizing and talking to these people. I learned so much walking around Germantown, knocking on doors for that 2 or 3 month span, that people are complex. They don't all just fall into one little bubble. And to touch on what you just mentioned, yeah, I don't think it's that a lot of people voted Evers and then stayed home for Mandela. Perhaps in the city, I haven't seen data that would give me a more clear response to that. But in a lot of the suburbs, I think Tim Michaels was just uniquely unpopular, and Mandela was just really hurt by the aggressive Johnson race baiting ads.
So I'm going to come back to some of the math from the 2018 election. We'll just remember a few of the numbers. But I want you, once again, you that have missed it somehow, to hear the rest of the Spindell quote. And we ran out of time, so here it is. Bob Spindell, Republican, alleged fraudster, and Wisconsin Elections Commissioner said, we must remember in this strategy of things, it is often extremely difficult and hard to convert a hardcore, long-term, generation-type Democrat to all of a sudden bring himself or herself around to vote for a Republican. However, by our Republican efforts, pointing out strongly how the Democrat candidates are worse than, or certainly no better than, their perception of Republican candidates at all levels, they hopefully cannot bring themselves to vote for another one, Spindell wrote. In a Democratic city or Democratic county where up to 80% of the people are voting for the Democrats, That's a good thing, and helped ensure that Senator Ron Johnson got over the vote goal line. So very proud that Ron won. A little bit more. Well, a great deal of credit goes to the RNC RPW Johnson paid staff and our many dedicated volunteers. Our recruitment of good candidates and their hard work for these areas' continued presence on Black Talk Radio, coupled with negative Black radio commercials, there's still a great deal of much more concentrated work we need to do in Black and Hispanic communities by continuing to show how Democratic elected officials and candidates are not watching out for the livelihoods of the people who live in these areas, and Republicans can. So, a lot less votes in Milwaukee County, 37,000 less votes. Now, during the commercial break, William, you pointed out to me, the margin between Mandela and Ron Johnson, 26,000, 27,000 votes.
27K, yeah.
More, significantly more, the claim by Spindell. More Milwaukee County, just the difference between 18 and 2022 could have turned the whole election for Mandela. So here's one other thought. Remember, 2018, Tammy Baldwin outperformed Evers and Mandela Barnes by about 100,000 votes. There were 100,000 people that voted for Tammy Baldwin and Scott Walker. And I know that seems implausible. You do the math. And it's true. Math don't lie.
Numbers can't lie.
So the only way we get to the vote totals we did in 2018 when Tammy just crushed Leah Vukmer and Mandela and Tony Evers came closer to, let's say, squeaking by, but they won 30,000. Our boy Evers got 89,000 more votes than Michaels, and Mandela lost by 27,000 votes. My question, I guess, is it possible that the Mandela-Evers ticket actually underperformed in 2018 and it was a closer race than it needed to be? Is there this latent racism in the great state of Wisconsin? And of course, there have been strategic efforts, as laid out by Bob Spindell very proudly, to, you know, demoralize Black voters, to convince them, you know, Democrats don't deliver for you. And I got to tell you, as a guy who's been watching for a number of years, it's probably a resonating message to a certain degree. Because if you block anything good ever getting to Milwaukee, and every time they vote for a Democrat, they cannot deliver because Republicans...
They see every one of their officials are Democrat. They're not seeing any marginal improvement in their quality of life. They're going to assume, yeah, that Democrats aren't making a difference for them.
Well, things like through shared revenue and through villainization of the community of Milwaukee, well, Republicans make sure that nothing ever does get better for these voters, for these African-American voters that historically had often voted Democrat, but numerically are coming out less and less every elective cycle. So anyways, I'm just throwing some math out there, doing a little math on the radio, but...
You got to talk about young people with that too, Crudy. I mean, young people are so apathetic to a system that doesn't seem to have any change on their lives on a day-to-day basis. Why would they keep putting the time and effort and volunteer hours into some of these campaigns if even when they win, the system can't be changed? These people don't have the spare money, time, or influence that retirees have that they can just do this as a pet project on the side, right? They're doing this after they come home from 40, 50, 60, sometimes 70 or 80 hour work weeks, and they're doing it because they love the idea that, hey, we can make a better society for everyone. And then they're seeing nothing change even when they're working their butts off for months and months and sometimes years on end for some of these campaigns. I get it. I get the apathy. It makes perfect sense.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Dom's traveling. He's back tomorrow, but I got a fine co-devil. He is William Walter from Our Wisconsin Revolution, and you can be a part of this program. Join us, 844-967-2789. I just found it unusual. Well, I shouldn't find it unusual for Righty Whitey Talk Radio host to make false claims that, you know, nothing bad has ever happened because of their malfeasance, because of Republican voter suppressive efforts. But of course, they're bragging about it here in the state of Wisconsin, as pointed out. And I think we have to figure out, A, can anything be done to change this? You know what I mean? Is it important? I mean, black radio, when they talk about black radio, they're talking about two outlets. I mean, I'm in this industry. You're talking about WNOV, and you're talking about The Truth, which was my former station, before I sold it to Craig Karmazin, 101.7 FM. Those are the two black talk stations in the state of Wisconsin. Those are the only remaining stations. Well, I can tell you, when I operated WRD, and I had Earl Ingram working for me, and I had Sherwin Hughes, who's now crossed the street and is working for Karmazin, I can tell you there was real animus from the Democratic Party leader, Martha Love. I mean, she's a big shot. And she would tell local black businesses not to buy radio spots on my radio station. Only buy them on the black talk station, WNOV. Okay, well, I thought, well, how am I going to go argue with a woman that says spend local? I also believe you should spend local, you know, support your local businesses. I had no problem with the notion that the black community should be spending money in their own community. I like that notion. I think all communities should be spending money with their neighbors. But I thought it was problematic that it was coming from a DNC leader on behalf of a specific private radio enterprise. And I found it very problematic in that I found that station to be very mercenary. They had no concern whatsoever for the sort of messaging. And in fact, I thought they made themselves readily available to especially school choice messaging. If you're willing to buy the ads, they're willing to sell them. If you want to come on somebody's show and you're willing to pay to play, which is effectively what it felt like to me, they'll pay to play. They'll support the Republican Party on Black Talk Radio in Milwaukee. And again, we're only talking about two outfits. There's only two black stations in the state. And they're both in Milwaukee. And one's in OV, and one's Craig Karmazin's The Truth, or the whatever they call themselves, 101.7. But when you talk about this anti-black campaign, this anti-can't vote for Democrats campaign, I mean, let's boil it down. Those are the two stations that accepted those messages. So anyways, that's my thought. As a radio guy.
Well, and Spindell pointed it out. He, quiet part out loud, he quite literally said that their message has been effective in some of these networks. And, you know, perhaps that is why we saw the results in this year's midterm.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. We're trying to get the word out here as well, all across the state of Wisconsin. The Civic Media Network. Get the app. That's what the real patriots do. Or listen to your local station. Like WXEO, Bull Falls Radio. I was listening this morning and all weekend. The back sync, all the stuff, all sounded good. More of us. More of William Walter. More Devil's Advocates. Come right back.
I declare
declassified.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire eight-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once. Once
oh,
in
yes,
Maine,
he has very
Wisconsin,
slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, what,
Bobby? He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 37 overnight under overcast skies with a chance for isolated showers. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for isolated rain showers tomorrow, high of 39, overcast. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, lows around 31. A dusting of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's MLK Day, but we're working. We're doing a live program, you know, minus Dom. He'll be back soon. Another unexcused absence. I got William Walter being my co-devil today. William, appreciate you doing so. I'm even going to give you an opportunity to speak and give you 2 minutes. Go nuts.
2 minutes. Oh, okay. Now you're cutting me a little short here. But so, you know, we talked about the Our Wisconsin Revolution Connection. One thing we haven't mentioned and what got me involved with that organization was I was actually elected as a delegate to the 2020 National Convention as a Bernie Sanders delegate right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That was my introduction to politics. I'd been passionate. I'd been interested for a while. But unless you know somebody in the industry, it can be pretty difficult to get your foot in. And, you know, to wrap it back to something we had just been discussing with young people and apathy in particular, my experience as a delegate, I think this is really noteworthy to kind of draw a broader conclusion about why so many young people tend to not get involved in the system is there were so many hurdles along the way that the only reason I was elected was because of COVID. I'll say it straight up. Usually these the process is where you go to your congressional district, get elected from there, move on to the next level, et cetera, et cetera. You know, this is the stereotypical good old boys club. It's a bunch of friends and particularly older people who have been involved for years because, again, they're not working full hours.
Come on, man. You can show up with your own delegate friends, can't you? Or do
No, people are working. Crudy, they got jobs. They got lives. They got young children. They can't afford to casually take all this time to show up for multiple hours to some weird niche delegate election that they've never heard of. But because it was all done virtually with COVID, there were so many young people involved that I reached out to and said, like, you know, hey, this is my first time getting involved with anything like this. How about you? Oh, yeah, me too. I can only do it because it's virtual. They have the events at maybe difficult to reach locations. If you live in way northern Wisconsin, you're not going to drive 6 hours down here for a 1 hour congressional district meeting or anything. And then the convention itself, you have to be able to take multiple weeks off of work and afford the hotel, afford all your meals, afford, like, young people just don't have the spare income or spare time to casually do that. So they're not going to get involved in these processes because they got bills to pay, dude. I have had this conversation with so many, you know, party chairs of communities, and these are great individuals. They have been working their butts off for years, and I really respect the work that they're doing, and I respect them as individuals. But, you know, they always come to me and they say, "Will, how do we get more young people involved? How do we get more young people involved?" And then they're having their meetings or events, you know, maybe at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. Well, yeah, of course young people aren't going to show up because they're working.
When would the young people show up? When would they become civically engaged? Pick your time on the calendar.
Oh, I am impartial to 6 and 7 p.m. any day of the week except Friday, personally. Now, that doesn't guarantee young people are going to show up. You have to give them a reason to show up. Something we've talked about in the past is student loan debt, right? Young people came out in force for Joe Biden. Why? Because the Democrats said, hey, young people, here's a policy that we will do to support you. Now, it came to fruition for a lot smaller percentage of the population that we would have liked to see. But again, when these older people are coming to me and saying, you know, William, why aren't young people involved? What do we do to get them involved? It really is not complicated. You have to do things politically that are advantageous towards the material conditions of these people's lives. If you don't, they're not going to come out and vote. Now, they're not going to go vote for Republicans. They're just going to stay home. Apathy is going to take control, and they're going to say, whatever, I want nothing to do with this. But if you get young people out to vote, we know Democrats win. We know that. Every election cycle, the numbers show that 18 to 29 and even 29 to 39 lean very heavily towards the Democratic Party. And that's why you got, you know, Scott Walker tweets from yesterday. We talked about it before the show briefly. He says the voting age should be the same as drinking age, regardless of what that age is, right? Now, what he's really saying is we should raise the voting age to 21, because 18 to 21-year-olds skew heavily Democratic. But, you know, conceptually, I don't think he's wrong. Either you're an adult or you're not an adult. Am I right? Military service, too.
I'm not sure why he would give a damn about your ability to consume beer. That's the precursor. Mm-hmm. I mentioned to you before we went on the air, when I was at the officers club, when I was a 20-year-old, actually non-commissioned, but when I was 20 years old, I was drinking beer on base in the officers club, and that was permissible. I've heard Ron Johnson say, well, you know, if you can join the army, if you can serve your country, you should be able to drink a beer. And we asked him, you know, are you advocating for a lower drinking age? And his claim was, what is the drinking age?
Oh, geez.
But you know that Scott Walker doesn't do anything without some prior forethought and some triangulation. I think you're probably right. He doesn't want young people to vote because young people don't like what his party stands for, and certainly not if you talk about things like taking away women's abortive and reproductive rights.
And he gives himself plausible deniability by including that next tweet where he says, I don't care what the age is, as long as it's the same and we agree on it. Well, then you wouldn't have said in the first tweet, voting should be the same age as the drinking age. You would have said, the drinking age should be the same as the voting age. The implication being, when you are an adult, you are legally allowed to vote. You are legally allowed to get shipped off to the Middle East to go kill people on behalf of defense contractors. Then, yes, you can legally have a beer back home. And it's absurd that these ages do not align. Frank.
We're going to turn towards some national issues in the happy hour, but let me ask you. I spoke with a grassroots friend of mine this weekend. They got a big event coming up in March. We're going to play a part. We're going to broadcast at the Wisconsin Grassroots Network. But she said to me, a lot of people objected to the Democratic Party clearing the field for Mandela Barnes. And you talked about being a 2020 delegate. That friend of mine was a 2016 delegate for Bernie. We were in Philadelphia, and that was not a cheap date, but fortunately I had the resources, and we took our little Devil's Advocates crew on the road, and we stayed with the Democratic contingent from Wisconsin, same accommodation, same room cost. And it's not a poor person's game playing politics. You got to have the money, the resources to do the traveling, to get the good hotels and all that kind of stuff, because they don't stay at the Motel 8 out by the airport.
And you got to take that time off from work. Do not forget that either. That's something that is privileged for, you know, if you're working at Amazon, you can't just casually go to your boss and say, hey, boss, I got elected as a delegate. I'm going to Philadelphia next week. Like, you're getting fired.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia, boss. Here's my question. How much do you think that the Democrats, and we're rolling into the top of the hour, but how much do you think the Democrats clearing the field, did that make Mandela somehow less palatable as a candidate?
I personally believe so. And I'm glad you asked that, because that's something I could talk about for 20 minutes. I have had that
I can give you one
conversation with so many people within the state apparatus. I believe so. I've been told by people within the party that the unity look is better because we're showing everybody that we're on the same front together. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what the actual reasoning is of it. The fact that what matters is the fact that the voters see it as the party clearing the field for one candidate. Whether or not that's the truth is irrelevant, because the voters are the ones making this decision. And if they see it that way, they're going to vote accordingly.
It was no more or less palatable when Barack Obama did it for Joe Biden and cleared the field on Super Tuesday. I was very disappointed it happened here in the state of Wisconsin. And no offense to Joe Biden, but I didn't like the outcome in either elective cycle. Come back, the happier happy hour. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates. That's William Walter. I'm Crudy Ebone. Your calls could be next.
No! Don't move. Vote.
I'm an old man. I'm confused.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.